Fonsi Doherty, chairman of the Ballylennan Development Association, ever hopeful of having the historic courthouse replaced by a car park for his hotel and estate agency, has come to understand that it may be preferable to accommodate the opposition in some matters rather than block all initiatives which do not suit him. However, he has still to reveal his proposal for the association to buy a small property from the widow O'Neill on which to build a new arts centre instead of restoring the courthouse for that purpose. Fonsi feels he is walking on eggs, but he has yet to become aware of the necessity of treading softly within his own household. Ballylennan, 1954.
So, there you are, Mr. Doherty. Hello. Hello, are you there, Mr. Doherty?
I am, Miss McConkey. I am.
I thought perhaps I'd cut you off by mistake. Some of the switches in the board here are slipping on me.
Walking out, did you say?
Well, maybe that's too strong a word.
And this young man you speak of, I can't say his name. Walls have ears. Walls have ears. He's walking out with a daughter of mine.
I said that might be too strong a word. But my sister said I should mention it to you all the same.
I'd heed anything your sister said, Miss McConkie. He's walking out with Josie, is he?
I'm sure it's perfectly innocent.
Are you sure we're talking about the same person?
Packy McGoldrick. Sorry, but there couldn't be anyone listening in at the switchboard. I have all the other lights closed.
No, it's not that, you see. It's just that the person you mentioned is doing a few jobs for me around the place. A bit of the painting and varnishing. He still has to finish this floor.
Perhaps he'll be going back to England.
He certainly will.
Wrong.
No, it's not that. Only the fact is that the same boy was after annoying me in another matter, and I gave him his walking orders not 5 minutes back.
Oh, you don't say.
But who will I get to finish varnishing this floor? I'm standing here at the desk, on an island, like.
Well, then there's nothing to be done but swim for it. I'll say goodbye, Mr. Doherty.
Aye, thanks. Thanks for the word, Mr. Conkey. Josie! Imelda! There's nobody about the place. Packy! Packy, where are ya? Ah, for Christ's sake. Where does it go?
Ballylennan call office number, please.
Hello, Miss McConkie.
Yes, was there something else, Mr. Doherty?
Would you put me through to number 4, please, my hotel?
Hold on now. Doherty, Swilly Arms Hotel, can I help you?
Yes, Josie. Did you see that Packy McGoldrick around the place?
I thought he was painting the floor in the estate agency office.
Yes, he was. But here, where is he now?
Well, in there, I suppose.
No, he's not.
Where are you ringing from?
The estate agency office, next door. Do you want it spelled out?
How was I to know where you were?
I thought you'd know.
How would I? Why are you ringing from next door when you could walk in?
Because I'm in the middle of the room with the floor all over varnish and it's too far to jump.
It's a pity for you.
Now, none of that, you. Come round with a few of our newspapers. No, better still. Call her Packy McGoldrick and send him back to me.
He might have gone home. His mother gives out to him if he's not home to his tea by 6 o'clock, because she goes out to devotions at 7.
How do you know? Was he talking to you?
I just know.
Well, don't be talking to him.
What are you saying?
Forget it. I'll jump. I'll pick the way across. It's slippy, but never...
Greg Houston, you know what I said about Sheila's pigtails. Yes? Well, if I see you doing that again, you'll spend your next break in the classroom writing out the names of the chief rivers of Africa. Do you hear me now?
Miss Ball.
Hello? Oh, Frankie.
I was just passing the school, Miss Ball. I saw you in the yard.
It isn't often I get the chance to let them out for break at this time of year.
Aye.
I'm going to get fourth class to put down crocus bulbs under the elm tree as a nature study exercise.
Hmm. I was wondering if I could call round and ask you something when you're not so busy.
That's a few minutes now. The gate's down there.
I'll nip over the wall. I'm used to climbing places higher than this now.
On the building sites of Birmingham. Have you decided to go back there?
I was thinking of stopping on here. It's a backward enough old place, but you have to create your own opportunities.
Self-help leads to greatness.
Yeah, well, I know how to butter my own bread, but a wee nod from someone in authority does no harm. You said something about caretaking.
Oh, that's a long way off, I'm afraid. I'm trying to get an arts centre going. There's money available from the Ulster Georgian Society, and I'm applying for funds from the trust set up by the late Mrs. George Bernard Shaw. But as I'm sure you know, there are the most extraordinary difficulties about getting the old courthouse renovated.
Oh, I heard there's another site available, down at Crotty's Quay. The boathouse and half an acre belonging to Mrs. O'Neill.
Was it advertised in the Vindicator?
I'd hardly think so, no.
How did you hear about it then?
I heard.
Aren't you working for Mr. Doherty at present?
Well, I must say you're very quick, Miss Bow.
Quick?
Well, I was doing some odd jobs around his estate agency.
Was?
He doesn't want me to stay on. Anyway, what he pays me wouldn't keep a pig in Purties.
Oh, here's Reverend Hawthorne. You! He's invited the moderator to present the prizes here next week, and I'm getting up a verse-speaking recital. Tell me, Packy, do you have any special qualifications?
I've got a scholarship to the Brothers School. That'll be in 47. And since I took the interstate, I've been employed across the water on the rough building. But I did a bit of landscaping for Mr. McAlpine over there on the site, so I know the tricks of that too.
If only Ballylennon would enter for the Tidy Villages competition. You could make your mark on that. Brains and brawn, Packy.
Why don't we?
Why not, indeed? Another way of drawing attention to the need to rehabilitate the old courthouse, too.
You see, Muriel, if there's too much dissent, the Development Association could split. And you know what that means.
Someone else would start another with a different name. A rival.
You may be sure they would. The Ballylennon Project or some tomfoolery like that.
Ah, sure, everything's a project nowadays, Fonsy. And if it isn't a project, it's a scheme.
Well, I want no schemes neither. You know, it's a pity that last meeting broke up before we got to the point. Especially as it seems we'd got wee Miss Bowl in good humour by serving the cup of tea here in the hotel first. Oh, there's a lot to be said for the hospitality.
Have you something in mind, Fonsy?
Well, yeah, I was thinking we should go along with any suggestions you might bring up, but on minor matters only. Make her feel her influence is being felt. Now, on the courthouse, I'd have to stick to my guns. As chairman, you know? I mean, the chairman has to show a bit of dignity.
I think her opera festival notion's been abandoned.
Well, then, that's the very thing we'll encourage. I could drop a word to Gad Gallagher saying we're all for an opera festival, in spite of what he might think. And that news will be sure to get back to her. Now, oh, you'll have to excuse me now, Muriel. There's Packy McGoldrick hanging around the reception desk. I have to speak to him.
Oh?
Can you imagine staying on a floor and leaving a person stranded in the middle? She nearly broke my neck trying to jump across to the door.
Well, I only dropped in about the agenda. And Josie, how's she getting on with her studies?
Oh, the best. You know, I can see her here in 2 years' time, reeling off the high-class menus, ordering all the best wines and that, and the budget.
The budgies?
The budgeting. There's a teacher comes from Strabane 2 days a week to instruct them in the budgeting.
Oh, yes. I believe they're very progressive, the budgeting. And you see, she's well in herself.
Huh? Oh, that other. Oh, she's fine. Fine. Aye, well, there he is now. I'd better go out to him. Excuse me, Muriel. I'll take him inside to the office.
Ah, oh, Packy, I didn't see you were out in the hall.
Hello, Miss McConkie.
I've been seeing you, Fonsy.
Right.
Mr. Doherty.
Come inside now to the little room. Let me see. I've what's duty here, and where is it? Yes, in this three. Here we are, the three brown envelope. That's five of an hour for the painting, and a few shillings for cleaning up at the back.
And you don't want me to paint the bar?
No, I told you I decided against that.
I didn't finish staining the office floor.
You needn't remind me of that. I finished it myself.
So you've nothing more for me?
I have no obligation to you.
And how would that be? When 2 weeks ago you said you were driven mad trying to find someone to help you out.
I told you the other night. And if you didn't hear me right, I'll say it again. Now, I'm in business a long time, and I've built up a big clientele. Now, when you're in business, you like to be sure that what you say on the phone is confidential.
doesn't do you
Mr.
No,
Doherty, the phone rang. I was out varnishing your floor. I'd have left the room if you told me. I couldn't help overhearing that you were buying Mrs. O'Neill's old place.
You overheard nothing. You know, I'm known as a man who doesn't bear ill will. So, here's another pound for yourself.
And you can keep your pounds.
Can a man not perform a generous act without it being flung back in his face?
What I have to say won't take 5 minutes, Mr. Doherty. But as it's rather urgent, I felt I'd better not wait till the regular meeting.
Quite right, Miss Bowles. Miss McConkie, you can refer to this as an informal meeting in the minutes.
I was going to do that, Mr. Doherty.
Yard Gallagher, oh, it's a long time since we saw you here.
I was thinking perhaps I should resign altogether from the Development Association. I'm not much use with the new rotor.
No, I wouldn't hear that. You're much too valuable. Am I right, Miss McConkie?
Oh, you're a tower of strength, Guard.
That's the word I was looking for. Wouldn't you agree, Miss Bowles?
Guard Gallagher knows that I appreciate his support, especially on musical matters.
And on that very point, Guard, we wouldn't want you to think that when you didn't come as high as we expected in the singing competition...
When I got the written report, they said it was too slow. Perhaps it was, but on the other hand, they may not have taken my rubato into account.
I'd say they didn't. Look, you can put that in the minutes, Mr. McConkie. Guard Gallagher's
rubato.
That's right. They didn't take it into account. And I can tell you fair and square, Guard, that any other operatic ventures you may have in mind, and this goes for you too, Miss Bowles, will be very warmly supported by this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But the reason I ask for this meeting, its urgency, I mean, is that I wanted to suggest entering Ballylennan for the Tidy Villages competition.
Aye.
What's most important is making it a concerted effort so that all the flowers are blooming in time for Judging Day in June. The public buildings, the guards' barracks and the railway station should be decked with blossoms, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we could ask them to do that. I could plant a few flowers in that little triangle between the hotel and the fuel depot where the mud gathers in the winter. What do you think, Mr. McConkie? Don't you think Miss Bowles should be congratulated for her excellent idea?
Oh, definitely, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I think we have a unanimous vote. Garn?
Aye. It's very imaginative.
Miss McConkie?
And civic-minded, aye.
Passed with acclamation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. through the chair, I don't suppose the judges look at back gardens.
I understand they're only entitled to consider what can be seen from the public road.
Oh, it's a terrible pity. Because, as you know, we have no front garden at the shop, but my sister has the back garden beautiful every summer with begonias and other things.
And tyrannos?
No, but she has those. Those two, I think. But how beautiful they are. And the scent of them, it would put you in mind of a perfumery.
There's a competition for window boxes through the chair.
I'd be afraid of anything that would bring flies. You have to watch the hygiene regulations when you run a shop.
We must inform Mr. Bonner of this decision, Mr. McConkie, to write it up for the Vindicator.
I'll do him out a paragraph in the morning.
I inquired from the County Tourism Committee, and their advisor, Mrs. Henderson, will be delighted to address a public meeting. She has a diploma in dendrology, I believe.
Ah, good for her. Well, there's only one thing, and it's always the one thing. Money?
Oh, there'd have to be a public collection.
We could get someone to organize a silver circle with prizes every week or a monthly raffle.
Oh, yes, Mr. Chairman. And I have just the right person to take on all those administrative duties.
Yourself, of course.
I'm afraid all my leisure time is already at a premium. Isn't that so, Guard?
Sure, every minute of your day is taken up with musical activities.
Who did you have in mind, Mr. Bowles?
A young man known to most of us. Home from work of a very unsuitable nature in England. A person of enterprise and initiative. Packy McGoldrick.
Him? Oh, no, I think he's going back to Birmingham. You see, there are far better opportunities for a young person over there.
Well, he must have changed his mind. I think we'd be doing a real service to the community if we keep even one young person from the social evil of the emigration boat. Don't you all agree?
Emigration's a curse of the country, Miss Bolt.
Well, we'd better take a look at his references. If he has any.
Yes, prior to making a formal arrangement.
Wait now. Now, shouldn't we advertise the post? People would think it very unfair if we took on a person without advertising.
It's not a salaried post, just commission. So you don't have to advertise. I'll be seeing Packy because he's doing some work for Reverend Hawthorne in the manse garden. And I can help him with his curriculum vitae.
His what?
His CV. Testimonials, you know. Now, I must run.
If you'll excuse me too, please. I promised to give out a dog license to Bertie McGinley before this evening's race.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for accepting my idea so enthusiastically.
Eric?
I'll do some research for the next meeting. Good night, Miss McConkie.
Oh, good night, Miss Bone.
And good night, Dad.
Good night.
Tacky McGoldrick. And isn't she in a queer hurry to examine his testimonials now?
I'd say she'd be a dab hand at that.
There's a dance in Mulford on Saturday, Joseph.
Oh, you shouldn't be in here.
What's that, Jamaica?
Blancmanges.
Mm-hmm.
The Dow will have a stroke if he catches you here.
They look like jellies.
They're made on milk. You better look out.
Do you serve them in the hotel dining room?
I will, now that I've learned how to make them.
Listen, it'll be the mellow cards playing.
They're not up to much. Stop! Give us that basin.
Oh, did you learn that in the tech?
We have to think up new menus. The instructor says, semolina pudding and spinach trifle on a menu every day is monotonous. It is too.
I wouldn't mind a basin full of the pink one.
I'll give you a dip if you stay quiet.
He's not around.
He's only gone down to McConkie's for the gab with old Muriel.
Has he taken a notion of her?
Catch yourself on.
Well, she might have taken a notion of him.
It's not bitter, Pastor. She's in and out of this place like the handle of a bicycle pump since Mommy died. Where's that whisk?
He wasn't slow in giving me the bum's rush, your old fella.
Oh, you gave him cheek.
Who said?
He said.
What did he say?
If you want to know, he said you were too full of yourself and you should go back to Birmingham where they might knock a bit of sense into you.
Well, I'm not going.
He has it in for you. And if he catches you even looking at me...
I happened to hear something about a deal to buy the Widow O'Neill's dirty outfield, and he accused me of listening to private conversations.
So you were.
Only that he drew attention to it, I'd never have given it a minute's thought. It made me wonder, was there something hidden in it?
Business is business.
Well, I won't be troubling him again.
What way would we get into Milford? The dance...
I was thinking Vinnie Carter might give us a lift in the old van.
We might be better going to the Magnet in Letterkenny. We'd be sure of a lift.
Please yourself.
He'd say I've no call going to Milford. But I could be going to a night class in Letterkenny.
Oh, I get your drift.
Like you were a long time getting it. Pick your hand out of that bone.
My God, that stuff tastes powerful.
I said quit pot walloping.
I'd fancy a dollop of that every night. After me tea.
Have you the tea on, Muriel? My goodness, but there's a wind outward cut through you.
Was I any of the meeting?
A few. Oh, look at my hair. I look like I've been pulled through a hedge backwards. I should have worn my head square.
There's a new tin trifle. I was wondering would you open it.
Did it not sell it?
No, it's only a sample left in by the traveller.
You have a right to try it yourself first.
A dainty dessert, it's called. Oh. Made with fresh sponge cake, custard and strawberry preserve. Mm. Doesn't it sound lovely?
Where's a wee twirly tin opener?
Is Fonsy there?
Oh, just for a few minutes to introduce the expert.
Mm.
I don't think his heart's in this tidy village's racket.
I suppose Packy McGoldrick was there.
Taking notes on a clipboard with one of those new ball-pointed pens. You'd hardly credit he was reared at the Pierce Villas. And guess who was clucking round him like a white Wyandotte?
Mm, I can imagine.
If there was a hen sign in the horoscope, she'd be under it instead of Capricorn. Well, that young Packy's going to do a house-to-house draw every week with all kinds of prizes to collect funds for the tidy village.
Mm.
I doubt he'll collect more than his own fee, but sure, that's probably what's in his mind. I wonder how much he's been paid.
Fancy Doherty would know.
You could see Mr. Doherty's not too keen on that young buck. He has his reasons.
As we know.
Well, the expert turned out to be a Mrs. Henderson from Donegal Town, where she runs a nursery garden.
"Wouldn't you know," says I to Beg Sweeney, who was sitting next to me. "That lady expects us all to order plants by the dozen from her own shop."
"What kind was she, Mrs. Henderson?"
"Oh, very respectable. Not one of your fly-by-night entrepreneurs. She had on a kind of purple tweed outfit. If she stood still in the rocky glen, you'd mistake her for a bank of heather." "Peg says she has a few shillings behind her.
Oh.
Her husband's an accountant in the Scottish Widow's Insurance."
"Was Vivian Bowe right about the back garden?"
"Yes, we can only judge what's alongside the road."
"Thanks be to God. I said you always had the back garden beautiful in summer."
"Well, some of them would see beauty in a few sticks of rhubarb and a crab tree."
"So we don't have to do anything?"
"They were talking of window boxes."
"Perhaps we should do something to keep up with the rest of them."
"You know, Muriel, a window box upstairs where no one could see it too closely, filled with those plastic marigolds they have advertised in the co-op catalogue, who'd be the wiser?
We might even win a prize."
"Here's that note on the last meeting, Stumpy. Miss McConkie wrote it out to save you the trouble of taking it down from her."
"I was looking out for a couple of items for Saturday's column, so it was. News is scarce. Are you anything else?"
"No, and what you have there is not much either. Just to announce the Development Association's back in a Tidy Villages competition. Now, will you take the same again?"
"Aye, thanks."
"Good. You never wrote up that story about the Widow O'Neill's boathouse being for sale. You know, how it could be turned into an art centre."
"Well, the truth is, I couldn't see me way into writing that one, you know."
"Huh?"
"People might have wondered how it was I considered that place as suitable for artistic activities, or whatever. Or how it even crossed my mind."
You did right, Stumpy, to hold back. And I'm going to stay quiet on that one for a bit, too.
Good luck."
"Good luck. I have a lot in my mind. I'm not too happy about a young fella."
"There's Gerard Gallagher waving at you across the bar."
"Yeah. How's it going, Gerard?"
"I had a great idea for the Tidy Villages. A concert of music all about gardens and flowers."
"Oh, that'd be great, Gerard."
"Oh, every long and lonely hour."
Lovely.
Yeah,
used to him. He has a grand voice. Well, as I was saying, there's this young fella I've had in doing a few jobs.
I know who you mean. Drink. His old fella died of it, the Lord spares.
Much worse. I know all.
That's a curse, though.
I wish you'd go back to England and get lost in one of those building sites. I've an idea. He's throwing his eye at my young one.
Is that a fact?
But I couldn't be sure.
That's a vexing matter, sir.
I never saw them so much as wink at each other. But you know the way young people are.
Water will melt in their mouths, Sorland.
You'll mention it to me if you happen to see them.
Oh, well, of course. Now, Tidy Villages competition. The Ballylennan Development Association has taken the unprecedented step of entering. Miss McConkie's talented enough at writing out a good paragraph, so she has. The same as myself.
Well, if you read on down that, you'll see the young fella I was talking about is organizing it for us. But I can tell you, I didn't have the complete say in that.
How did you agree to give him the job, then?
Oh, diplomacy. Diplomacy. What you give with one hand, you take back with the other.
Ballylennan call office. Number, please.
Can you connect me to the railway station, please? I think it's number 8.
Number 9. I'm putting you through.
Hello. Is that the Londonderry and Lough Swilly Railway?
It is, aye.
Is that Mr. Bonner?
It's not, no.
Is he there?
He's out in the porter's shed. I'll get him.
Oh, well, thanks.
Are you finished, caller?
I'm not even started.
Well, wind the handle when you're done. There's many forgets to do that.
Hello? Is that you, Mr. Bonner?
Who's that?
Packy McGoldrick. I'm in charge of the Tidy Villages. Would you like some information for the paper?
Sure, have it all from Miss McConkie.
Oh, well, I thought you'd like to know I've asked the County Council to plant a row of cherry trees down the centre of Main Street and Japanese maples on Pius XII Avenue.
Is that a fact?
And the children at the Presbyterian School are going to do a project on conifers.
Mike Hulliam's gone to Preston's yesterday.
Oh, well, for next week.
I'm to cover the anniversary of Mother Margaret Mary Accumulata's vision of the Infant of Prague, so I have. And the Lennon Rovers match.
That sounds like a full page.
You may be sure it should be, but he only allows me the 18-inch column.
You deserve more, Mr. Boner. Isn't your column the first thing that people look for when they open the Vindicator of a Saturday?
Well, it is.
Well, we'd be lost without it.
I know that.
I suppose you got the story of the railway closing down.
What?
Or did the editor swipe that for the front page?
Where did you... That couldn't be true, so it couldn't. You're joking me.
Oh, indeed, I'm not. And the pity is, your job and Mr. Corfetter, the station masters, will be on the line. No pun intended. It's a scandal, so it is.
I have it from Joe McManigal that as long as this government's in power, it's hands off of the railway.
And I have it from Mr. Terry White that they won't be in government long. And his crowd will close the railway before you could cry crack.
How would you know what's in Terry White's mind?
I'm not going to help him do up that blacksmith's forge he bought for a house when it finished in the Reverend's garden.
That's real bad news, so it is. The people need the railway. It's a social necessity, so it is. A benefit to the community.
Well, I'll keep my ear out for anything Terry White lets drop. And I'll keep you informed.
The connivance of them.
Aren't they a degenerate bunch? And you won't forget the tree planting.
What? No. I might even be able to get it in for Saturday.
You're a social benefit, Mr. Boner, so you are.
Hello? Have you finished, caller? Oh, these people never remember to ring off. Are you there, Muriel?
Coming, Vera.
Do you know what I'm after here on the switch?
What is it?
That young Packy McGoldrick has Stumpy Boner wrapped round his little finger.
Sure, Fancy Doherty's the only person able to do that.
I wonder did Mr. Doherty do right to slight that young man.
Sure, Fancy always knows the way to go about things.
Well, Mr. Doherty may have met his match. Do you know who he puts me in mind of, the same Packy?
Who?
He's like a young Machiavelli. Oh, that boyo. When he's not fishing, he's mending his nets.
Through every long and lonely hour, in prison there I kept your flower. And though its bloom was swiftly gone, its haunting fragrance lingered on. In the darkness as I lay dreaming, its perfume consoling, redeeming. Recall your image night and day, and my despair would fade away.
In episode 8 of Ballylennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonsy Doherty was T.P. McKenna, Muriel McConkie was Margaret Darcy, and Vera McConkie was Stella McCusker. Vivian Bowe was Anya McCartney, Guard Gallagher, John Hewitt, Packy McGoldrick, Charlie Bonner, and Josie Doherty, Kira McKeown. The music was arranged and performed by Stephanie Hughes, and the series is directed by Owen O'Callaghan.